Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Julius Baer's Moving Markets podcast. It's Monday, the 29th of April, and my name is Helen Freer. I'll be talking about the latest market news with Jan Bopp this morning, and then I'll be speaking to Markus Wachter, who joins us this morning to update us on our technical analyst thoughts on equities, the Japanese yen, and gold. But first up is Jan. Good morning, Jan.
Good morning, Helen.
So last week was anything but dull. The earnings season, for one, kept us on our toes, didn't it?
Yeah, it was wild, Helen. We had everything. Blockbuster earnings from many of the big tech companies. Important data out of the US that showed that inflation remains stubbornly high while economic activity slowed in Q1. And let's not forget an unsolicited offer of quite some magnitude in the commodity space.
Yeah, there was really a lot going on. Let's start with the equity markets. Earnings did have a notable impact, particularly in the tech AI space. Can you tell us more about this, Jan?
Sure. So Tesla's results were disappointing, but that was expected. The more important news was that the company managed to please investors with a strategy pivot. The stock was up more than 10% on the news. Now, a mirror image of that was Meta. The company over-delivered, but made it clear that it will significantly step up investments in artificial intelligence in order to stay at the top in the longer term. Sounds reasonable. Investors didn't like this longer-term focus and paid down the stock.
Okay. Yeah, there's a certain irony to this.
Yeah, there is, Helen. And Microsoft and Alphabet exceeded investors' already high expectations, as margins are likely to improve further. What was noteworthy from an overall perspective was that following Meta's first ever dividend announcement back in February, Alphabet also announced a small dividend for the first time and a share buyback of more than $70 billion.
What were the main takeaways then from last week?
So there are two takeaways from last week's earnings, if you talk to analysts. One is that the US tech giants have underlined that they are now willing to give investors a greater share of their vast cash reserves. And two, Microsoft and Alphabet sent a clear message to investors, a message that Meta wasn't able to deliver the day before. And that was, our spending on artificial intelligence and cloud computing is paying off. Message that resonated well with investors.
And how did markets react overall?
It really was a roller coaster last week. The S&P 500 surged over 2.5%, with the NASDAQ 100 making a remarkable 4% rebound. European markets joined the party, rallying 1.1% on Friday alone. That was its best daily performance since January. But it's been volatile, to say the least. And the volatility wasn't limited to equities. Currencies and yields were also experiencing huge swings. Yields remain elevated, and that pushed the dollar higher recently, which is a big problem for some regions. Look at the Japanese yen. Dollar yen was pushing higher already for the last weeks, and the currency is having a wild Monday. It more or less collapsed overnight, sending it past 160 per dollar before falling as low as 155 this morning. And looking at the screens now, it trades around 157. I mean, those are extreme swings and certainly not healthy ones. And it just shows that some parts of the market have bigger issues with higher yields and or a strong dollar than others.
You mentioned earlier big news in the commodity sector, which was BHP making a takeover offer for Anglo American. We touched on this on the podcast on Friday morning. Any more news there?
BHP made a bold move with an unsolicited offer for Anglo American, which caused quite some noise in the industry, not only because Anglo American said the proposal significantly undervalues the company, not only because it turned out that the activist hedge fund Elliott has amassed a $1 billion stake in Anglo American, adding yet another variable to the potential deal. It's also because after years of silence of BHP in the M&A business, things are starting to move again, and that makes this so interesting.
And why now?
Well, the reason for for this is mainly BHP's interest in increasing their copper exposure. As you know, the industrial metal is heavily used in renewable energy products and electric vehicles, so it is essential to the green energy transition. The biggest producers all want to increase copper output to take advantage of that. However, miners just aren't building enough mines. So the bid comes with copper prices trading around two-year highs at $10,000 a ton, and many prominent figures in the industry calling for further gains as the supply crisis deepens. This morning, news broke that BHP is considering making an improved proposal for Anglo Americans.
Okay, so I guess we can expect this saga to continue this week then. Looking ahead, what else should investors expect for this week?
Helen, we have an interesting week again ahead of us and for the global economy and markets, including the release of the US monthly jobs report, Eurozone inflation and GDP, and of course, the FOMC meeting on Wednesday. So by the end of the week, we should have some additional information on two of the key questions for the US economy. One, how the Fed is thinking about recent data, including the worse than expected growth in inflation numbers. And two, the extent to which the labor market can continue to support strong consumption. And with that, back to you, Helen.
Great. Thanks a lot, Jan, for the great roundup to start the week.
Thanks, Helen.
Now, Marcus, good morning to you and welcome to the podcast this morning.
Good morning, Helen. Thanks for having me.
So I'm looking forward to hearing what you have to say from the technical side, Marcus. Friday was obviously a good day overall, as we heard from Jan, but markets are having a bit of a tough time at the moment. The last day of April is tomorrow, and a lot of the major indices are in the red for this month. There are a couple of exceptions, but in the US, the S&P 500, the NASDAQ, and the Dow Jones are all down so far this month. What do you make of this, Marcus, and where we go from here?
What it seems to be now is like a correction in the uptrend. We are seeing the, especially the NASDAQ has been going down to support level and turning back up, but also S&P and have been also trading up again from like above their, even above their support levels. In general, when we see the equities being in an uptrend, and we have been looking at historical data, like for example, five consecutive up months in a row, and then you have a break of that series, you still end up with like 11.8% in the next 12 months later. So from that perspective, it's still making sense to kind of buy the dip. Also, in terms of seasonality, you see the summer returns of equities not as good as the winter returns, but if they are in an uptrend, and we are currently in mostly, so we are seeing like still positive returns during the summer months from May to October.
Okay, let's move to currencies. Tim was on the podcast on Friday, and among other things, he talked about the Japanese yen. Jan also mentioned it earlier, because we've seen the dollar steadily appreciate versus the yen this year, although this morning the yen has been appreciating. Your thoughts here, Marcus?
The US dollar yen has been in a strong uptrend, and we have been rising through the 152 level recently. Now we have also just touched the 160.2 level, which is where we have been like 34 years ago in the 1990s. This was the high. So coming up to that levels, a bit of more volatility is normal and can be expected. We still see momentum indication pointing upwards. We still see the uptrend intact. It's trading above its 12-month moving average, so there could still be a chance to move higher in the US dollar yen. We see that trend continue.
And lastly, I'd like to get your thoughts on gold, which has seen a remarkable rally over the last couple of months. It's come down a little bit now since the new highs it set earlier in the month. What do the charts show you, and what do you expect going forward for the gold price?
Gold has been also, yeah, as you said, has been trading up quite strongly. We have looked at the 20-day, 21-day moving average, and seeing how this happens, if that is like broken below. And we've seen like if there is a bit of a correction there, going back below the 21-day moving average, still mostly the trend is continuing. And we see positive returns in the next 60, 120, and 250 days. So there is also, since the trend is intact, there could be more upside on the gold price.
Excellent. Thanks very much for joining me this morning, Marcus.
Thanks a lot for having me, Helen.
So that is all for today. Thank you again to my guests and thank you all for tuning in. If you enjoyed today's show, don't forget to subscribe if you haven't already. And please also leave us a review on whichever platform you like to listen on. And you join us again tomorrow when I'll be back and talking to more of our colleagues about what is moving markets. Have a great start to the week, everyone, and bye for now.
The information and opinions expressed in this podcast constitute marketing material and are not the result of independent financial or investment research. Please refer to www.juliaspare.com/legal/podcasts for further other important legal information.
Beyond Markets is a weekly podcast where Julia Spare experts and external speakers discuss some of the latest market developments. They share their key research and insights on today's ever-changing economic landscape and present practical advice. Search for Beyond Markets on your favorite podcast player.